walking miles and miles and miles with him, listening to his word, listening to his counsel, leaning upon him, embracing him, fellowshipping with him. Judas saw the miracles with his own eyes. He was there. These things we read about, he experienced firsthand. He saw them. He heard the gasps of the people as the miracles would take place and people were healed, and those onlookers would just gasp in amazement at what God had done. He saw the look of awe and wonder on their face. He heard people cry out as the Lord would begin to approach the city. He could sense the electricity in the air. He saw men and women whose legs and muscles were atrophied, whose muscles had shrunk down into nothing because their legs had been useless for years and years, suddenly gain strength and tissue form on the bones, and these men and women would raise up under their own strength and begin to walk and leap and dance and cry out in gratitude to God. He saw men who walked in darkness all their life suddenly receive vision. And as Larry was saying, I believe even the understanding of what their senses were now telling them, the comprehension, as that light would go on in their eyes and in their soul. He saw just amazing things. He saw people raised from the dead as that funeral procession was going by, and that little boy was lying there dead in that casket as they were going by, and the mother's heart just breaking into pieces and crying out in agony that her son had been taken from her. And he walks up to that thing and speaks to that little boy, and life comes back into his body. And Judas was there when that little boy opened his eyes and sat up, and that mother just, I'm sure, came apart with awe and wonder. I can't imagine the reaction and the crowds just suddenly running throughout the city crying out what God has done. Judas saw all of that. He was there when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And this man who had been dead 4 days, wrapped and bound in grave clothes, suddenly came walking out of that tomb, and people didn't know how to respond. He saw Jesus when he would command the wind and the waves. He was in the boat, fearing for his life in the midst of the storm on the Sea of Galilee, wondering if it was going to be all over. And suddenly the master stands up in the boat and he says, peace, be still. And the very waves and the wind obeyed his words. He was there and saw that. He felt the boat come to rest beneath his feet. And he was called. He, Judas, was given one of the most privileged opportunities given to any man in all of history, from the beginning of time to this very day. He was called to be an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, to walk and be numbered with those 12. He was called to have his name written on the foundations of the heavenly city of Jerusalem. He was called to have his name written in the book of life. He was called to be one of those who would lay the foundations of salvation for the entire world. And he walked with Christ. And yet, after being given all of that, just the richest, most unspeakably glorious invitation in all of history, he threw it all away. He dumped it. He threw it away. Utterly, completely, absolutely threw it away, despised it, and walked away from it. He not only threw away the opportunity to be an apostle, he threw away God's invitation for eternal life. He threw away his eternal destiny. Jesus said in Matthew 26:24, it would have been good for that man if he had not been born. Can you imagine that? To have that opportunity laid at your feet, handed to you on a platter, and yet to have Jesus say of you, it would have been good if that man had not been born. Now, different people have walked away from opportunities before. We all probably have missed golden opportunities. Can you think of opportunities that you missed? Golden opportunities you could kick yourself? No? I have. There are famous men and women who had glorious opportunities presented to them, and they walked away from it. I'll give you a couple names you might recognize. Tom Selleck. Anybody heard of him? Tom Selleck? Do you know he was given the opportunity to play Indiana Jones in the Raiders of the Lost Ark? Walked away from it. Nah, I don't think so. That's not going to further my career. Who took it instead? Harrison Ford, of course. The sharp individual. Let me give you another one. There's Tom Selleck. Sylvester Stallone was given the opportunity to play Han Solo in Star Wars. And he said, you know what? Nah, I don't think so. Not worth my time. Who got it instead? Harrison Ford. Man, somebody was awake. Good grief. Man, give you another one. How many people have heard of this guy? Sean Connery. Yeah. Wow. This guy was, yeah.
Say that again.
I forgot what I said.
Okay. Sean Connery, this guy was so on the ball. He was given the opportunity to play Gandalf in The Lord of the Rings, 3-movie deal. And he said, no, I just really don't understand the part. I'm going to pass. Thank you very much. So they wound up giving it to somebody else. Oh, no. Yeah, Harrison Ford. They did an amazing job with that makeup. Get this. After turning that down, he was given the opportunity to play Morpheus in The Matrix. And he said, no, I really don't understand the part of the character. I don't need that. I'll just pass. Thank you very much. Somebody else got it. And again, three mega movie, multi-deal, walked away from it. So after getting burnt twice, the third opportunity came around. He's like, well, I better not pass that up again. They gave him they offered him a part in The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Has anybody heard of that movie?
Yeah.
Okay, a couple, yeah. You snooze, you lose. I rest my case.
But at least Sean Connery was in it.
At least Sean Connery was in it. This should have been The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Here's another one you might recognize. Anybody recognize this guy? O.J. Simpson, believe it or not, had the opportunity to play the lead role in The Terminator. Who ultimately got that? Arnold, right. You know what happened? He had the opportunity, but the producers decided that he would not be convincing enough as a killer. Nobody would believe he was a killer. So they passed him and gave it to Arnold Schwarzenegger. So, Judas was not the first person to miss a golden opportunity. Well, these guys weren't there before Judas. But he was not the only person to miss a golden opportunity. But, you know, as amazing as these movie roles are, and as much as we think, wow, I wish they'd given me that opportunity, and how wonderful and glorious that would be, this can't scratch the surface of the opportunity Judas had. This is not even a scratch on the paint of the opportunity that Judas had. And let me tell you, when it comes to eternal life, this is not a scratch on the paint of God's offer to you for eternal life or whatever calling God has on your life. Say, my life. Amen. God has a calling on your life that is very glorious. and very weighty and priceless and valuable that has eternal value. Because one day you're leaving this world. I don't care, you know, how rich you are or how set you are or what you think you've got going. One day you're walking away from all of it, and it's what you've done for eternity that's going to count. That will be your inheritance. That will be your eternal destiny. And what God has for you is so profoundly priceless and valuable that these movie roles can't begin to scratch the paint on the surface of God's calling on your life. And Judas threw it away. What would cause a man to miss one of the most, in fact, the most privileged opportunity in the history of man to be an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ? What would cause a man to walk away from that, to throw it away, and end up the way Judas did, as we saw in that video? What do you think? What would cause him to walk away from that? Deception by Satan. Greed. Deception and greed. Covetousness. Selfish ambition. I mean, in America, we hold up ambition to be like, you know, the value of values, the golden treasure. But God says selfish ambition is a work of the flesh that destines us for destruction. Judas threw it away. Now, I think greed was the problem. And I think definitely he was deceived by Satan. He let the greed become a tool of Satan to blind him. Judas had a problem with covetousness, selfish ambition. What position did he hold among the apostles? Treasurer. He was the treasurer of the apostles. What did he love? Money. He loved money. You might remember when Mary of Bethany took the oil and anointed the feet of Jesus. And Judas had a big problem and raised a fuss and even got the other apostles to join in with them and say, what is this? This ointment could have been sold and the money could have been given to the poor. This is such a waste. It was all a front. The apostle John said in John 12:6, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box and he used to take what was put in it. Judas was all about Judas. All about what it was in it, what was in it for him. Whether it was skimming the top of what was in the money box, or especially what he hoped for when Jesus would come into his kingdom. See, Judas was the treasurer of those 12, but what did they think was going to happen when Jesus established his kingdom? They were going to get jacked up there too. They were all looking for that power. They were all looking for that golden dream, that American dream. Of course, it wasn't America back then. That Palestinian dream, you know. Christ is going to come, set up the kingdom. And they were even arguing, which of us is going to be the greatest in his kingdom, man? When they have Jesus on the billboard and neon lights, who's going to be right under that? Jesus, starring Peter, you know, starring John. At his right side, they even debated and argued who was going to have the seat on the right or the left of them. They were all tainted by that to some degree. They all wanted that position of power. Judas wanted that position of treasurer of the kingdom. He's like, man, if I can get a little bit out of this money box, imagine when they make me the treasurer of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Israel. Man! Frankly, I don't believe it was the 30 pieces of silver that Judas really lusted after that caused him to betray Christ. I think that was just a part of his personality. As long as I'm going to do it, I'm going to make a little profit on the side. Judas had his eyes on that coveted position, that exalted position of treasurer of the kingdom, when all of the money of God's kingdom would be coming through his hands. They were all tainted by it. But it consumed Judas. It consumed his heart. And it blinded him to the priceless gift that God had placed right in his lap. Praise God. And you know, it's not that positions are evil in themselves. I mean, we all want to have responsibility given to us. Jesus said it's a reward. You know, one of the rewards is that you'll be given authority over cities or nations or whatever. So it's not that that thing is bad, but as we were saying during the men's retreat, it's when that thing becomes distorted. When the things of this world, when our desire for the things of this world become greater than our desire for the things of God, red flags ought to start waving, man. Sirens ought to start going off, because we're in a place of grave danger at that point. We're about to trade away something pricelessly valuable for something that has little worth at all.